Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Got Brain podcast presented by Cognitivology, where we will continuously discuss and present in detail the mechanics of intuitive intelligence that are built on our inborn basic intuition. Plus, we will also be presenting the true mechanics and virtues of diversification. Now, you may be pondering, what do these two things have in common? And this is something we will continue to present and unfold for you about the significant connection between these two facets of our human potential. I would like to introduce myself. I am Carla Mencken-Wolf, and also my wonderful best friend and editor, Bryce Conway. And she's going to say something. What would you like to say?
Hi, everybody. My name is Bryce Conway, as Carla Mencken-Wolf had just said. I wanted to say that we are, in fact, the mechanics of intuition and diversification. I hope you guys enjoy our presentation and stick around for others. We welcome all comments and questions. We will try to answer them all throughout the next couple of weeks or months, and hopefully on this journey of brain potential discovery, you guys will learn something. This information is only was developed by us and only can be presented by cognitivologists, which is what we are.
And we also hope to learn something from you from all of you in our audience, as we learn about the questions and inquiries you have about true human brain potential, or the genuine, bona fide, authentic potentialities of what our brain has intended us to be and become in all of our commonality and our uniqueness.
Hello.
Oh, hi. We're back again.
As usual. Yes.
As usual. According to our schedule.
As the summer is winding down and kids are going back to school, and this upcoming weekend is going to be Labor Day.
It is already?
Yeah. When this airs, it will.
Oh, that's true, actually.
Yeah. Supposedly this is going to hit the airwaves on September 1st.
I have this double schedule always in my mind. What time it is now and what time it is when this podcast gets loaded up.
Yes, because this is previously recorded. We're live now, but we're previously recorded.
Yeah, I love it. Sometimes people really have to wonder, live, previously recorded? I suppose that some people actually do their podcast live.
Yes, yeah.
I may have to start doing that one day.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if a podcast really becomes more, diversified and flexible and fluctuates according to the interaction with the audience,
Absolutely.
Then it has to become a little bit more like a radio show. But one of those real original radio shows where the DJ is on and you can call up and you can talk to them or say something that's going on in the neighborhood, and it'll go on the air, and you can ask questions or request a particular song, or
our listening loyal audience is old enough to understand what it is you're talking
what
about.
What it is I'm talking about. I might as well be talking about egg creams in a luncheonette on the street corner.
Absolutely.
In America during the 50s.
Absolutely.
Okay.
A piece of food sold in a convenience store that was unwrapped.
Right. Okay.
That you could just get.
Right. I was telling some young girls when I was on the beach the other day about the original luncheonettes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to explain egg creams, and they said that they thought it sounded a little bit odd or untasty,
yes,
should I say.
I would think so.
And But they proceeded to ask me questions such as, you know, is it like a diner? And I would say, yeah, you could say it was like a diner, but it was more like a luncheonette because it had lunch food. I mean, that was what you could go in there to get, and you can get your ice cream sundaes, and as opposed to a diner, especially where we live here in New Jersey and growing up in New York, both of us, it is part of our New York, New Jersey, tri-state, you could say Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Northeast culture to be able to go out in the middle of the night and just hunt for a diner and sit there at 3 a.m. and have breakfast or dinner.
Yep.
Have gravy French
just
fries.
French fries.
Yeah, gravy French fries with cheese smothered on them, which I'm unable to eat anymore, but at once upon a time. And then you could have an ice cream sundae, or you can have a waffle, or you could have the salad bar. You could have moussaka.
Yes, but now we're talking about bygone years. So
yeah, but the New Jersey diner is still exists.
It's, yeah,
it's hardly a diner.
Very few and far.
There's less. Okay, let's say since the pandemic, some diners have closed up.
At least 3 or 4 in our neighborhood have closed up.
Yeah, and our favorite one definitely.
Yes.
Closed up.
Yes.
But if we were going to say, if we knew something beforehand and we could say something to the diners before the pandemic started, I wonder what that would be. Which brings me to the discussion we were having a few days ago, mm-hmm. and this brilliant way that you recaptivated this saying from a movie.
From a movie, yes.
Which is really, really brilliant, and I'm finding myself incapable of saying it as eloquently as you said it, but I think that you have brought it up a couple of times, and I think it was the third time you said it that it really, I think I took it for granted the first couple of times you said it,
mm-hmm.
but the third time you said it, it kind of knocked me over, or you could have knocked me over with a feather, because
right.
it was very, it had this multi-dimensional dynamo impact to, but anyway, I'm going to let you say it in your own words and explain it. And
well, it was a saying from a movie. Mm-hmm. I probably should say the movie, right? Because I have to give credit to the...
I suppose you should say the movie.
So the movie is Tomorrowland.
Right.
And it is being said that the saying is Governor Nix, who is a fictitious character of Tomorrowland, is explaining why they Tomorrowland does not help Earth. Because. Even though there's going to be the destruction of Earth in 58 days. Now, that's the plot of the movie. Okay. Sorry about that. I hope there's no spoilers for anybody. It's been out for a really long time. So, it's a worthwhile movie. Anyway, the phrase is that the only future that anyone cares about is the future that does not ask anything of me today.
So, in other words, only what can be written today is part of the future in most people's minds, because they're...
People are unwilling to change what they do, the habits that they do, to potentially ensure a better future tomorrow.
Right. So
they don't turn off the water. And I apologize for all of my don'ts here, guys, but sometimes you have to have the negative verbs.
Well, when we're talking directly to adults, sometimes that's the natural
So the conservation of the water, the conservation of fossil fuel, like removal of the fossil fuels.
Good manners.
Sure. Good manners. teaching children natural math and natural science, making them go outside without a device, talking to children, and you know, when they are upset, as opposed to just handing them the device, because again, that's directly a correlation between the future.
Right.
Okay. The future of your child's education, brain capacity, brain development, all of that is asking of you to talk with them, to right. make eye contact, mm-hmm. to help them, soothe them, get them outside playing. However, that's asking something of you now.
Right.
You are in the middle of something, or, you know, as a parent, you are in the middle of something. You want to get your laundry done, or you're on the phone, or you're on a Zoom call, or something, and your child, it wants your attention. And unfortunately, more often than not, and I'm going to hope that our loyal listeners are amongst those people who refrain from doing this. Mm-hmm. Because you all understand brain development, but more often than not, you see the parent hand the child an electronic device, the mm-hmm. phone, the tablet.
The TV.
The TV actually a lot less.
Yeah, because you can get TV and the tablet on your phone. Yeah.
Is given to the child, and the moment that you want that device back, the child is now complaining and
rebelling
and, you know, acting up, and a situation has now been created that could have easily have been averted.
Very easily averted. With and we could touch upon this today, but it also could be a continuation for the next session, where we want to continuously talk about diversity, because when you consider what diversification is, it has to be included in everything. So there is hardly at all an ending to what diversification is. It's an infinite information process, because the fundamental principles of math, which is an identical twin to what diversification actually is a cognitive process. And so, but before I go on, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to say that saying once more, because I think it warrants and deserves being said. I mean, it is a very significant reservation for people to maintain in their minds in terms of understanding what the real power of the human brain is, which is foresight. And that's the vision that we lose in terms of real brain potential. So when I come up against people where I get this run in, and they say, oh, but we use that's a lie. We use 100% of our brains. So I'm like, okay, so you use 100% of your foresight all the time in your decision making, like the decision you're making right now. Maybe there's decisions that we should be able to make in an instantaneous moment. Mm-hmm. Like, should I get a cup of tea or should I get a cup of coffee? Just to give a silly example. This hardly requires foresight. But the mechanics of foresight, which is one and the same, is a diversified pool of information that you can utilize to either make a quick decision or put together a basic blueprint for a decision that you need to make 3 days, or that you need to plan over 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years. Is that what we are intuitively astute at doing? So when people say we use all of our brains, this is the trait we are actually talking about. Mm-hmm. And that particular skill requires both a deep emotional literacy that comes from unconditional love in our early childhood. And early childhood years, I'm talking about the first 5 years, which constitutes 90% of our inner child.
Right.
And plus knowledgeable information about the basic laws of the universe. So we're talking about spirit law, which is an invisible blueprint for physical law. The fundamentals are parallel. Mm-hmm. We know that spirit law or invisible law is transcendent of space-time because it's multidimensional, and quantum information processing or particles can traverse the time elements or go instantaneous, faster than the speed of light.
Right.
But the parallels of information transference are across the board one and the same. So in some ways, this piece of information that you're saying, this saying, should be what we call a quantum information transference, because we should be able to do for today how we want for tomorrow to be. So anyway, just say it again, because I think it really warrants being said again, the saying from the movie. It's just so... It's so beautiful. Probably the best piece of script written from any.
Wow.
From any. I mean, I could probably think of others when I'm falling asleep tonight, and I go, "Oh, wait a minute, that other one." But
he was okay. But he was accusatorily saying it.
He was accusatory in saying it, but I think. And that's something that can be left out of the critical thinking process, but at the same time, we should be more impervious to be able to welcome a critically dispensed thought.
True.
Or idea, because we are more than willing to absorb the urgency of a situation. If somehow we never thought of it exactly ourselves in that particular scenario. Although we should be able to, if our abilities are developed as an intuitive cognitive process the way they should be, then at least through our abilities we should recognize the mechanics and the attributes of that particular idea. It should be transferable in terms of our own unique abilities. So we should... you know, barely even experience a struggle with it. We might go duh in our own heads for a minute or something, to put it in very modern young people's terms.
Right.
But there's something intrinsically truthful about it for every single piece of scenario, whether
True.
We're talking about visible or invisible. So,
True.
So say it once more.
So the only future that we seem to care about is the future that does not ask anything of us today.
Right. That's it.
That's it, basically.
Yep.
So, and this is the challenge that we feel that we've been facing, because we've talked about how there's so many venues for healing the inner child and... Mm-hmm. Restoring our intentions and goals to what we dreamed about when we were younger, which actually, when we stop and think about it, is very much in line with the whole inner child thing, where
yes.
When kids are young, we support their dreams and their goals, but then... whatever we do and say, we smash them up. And then when you get older and you're ready to graduate, they said, you know, go for your dreams and your goals. You could do it. But we've already, you know, added the pain. The pain and
the doubt.
And the doubt and the acid and the toxicity.
Right.
And so we have to reiterate rather than just... iterate what has been sustained all along. So,
I feel like I should ring a bell. It says, that was our secret word. Did everybody get that? Ding, ding,
yeah,
ding, ding, ding. That was our secret word of today.
Yeah, I think that...
Again, another old-time reference that no one in our audience
right.
will understand.
Right. Yeah, I think that three of the really major foundational parts of cognitivology, other than our emotional ownership and the four processes of intelligence development, intuitive cognitive intelligence development, and linguistics, neurolinguistics, cognitively correct language, and the process of incorporating both emotional literacy and knowledge, real knowledge about the universe. And we have the IGDG, instant gratification, as the precursor for delayed gratification, and iteration as the precursor for reiteration, but that it happens naturally. We can trust the process rather than us doing a reiteration thing with artificial memes and mottos that are inconsistent and non-commensurate with the true knowledge processes or natural processes of iteration. So we trust that a flower will grow up to be a flower, and it's iterating its, or it's, you know, it's RNAing its DNA, right? It's, yes, messaging based on the pattern, based, right, on the blueprint. So there's iteration before reiteration, but reiteration has to be defined according to real iteration, mm-hmm, rather than this artificial idea that we have to keep telling ourselves these philosophies that do very little to address our whole integrated self. So we have to go polish this part, then polish that part, then polish the other part. And then there's also the we were doing our transcripts for the website as we're rehabbing it, and, yes, we went over a long discussion about enforcement because it would have the wrong ideas in some people's minds, yes, because of all of the events that have happened. People will relate the word enforcement to certain types of circumstances, and this is one of the main things that cognitivology has done. So putting definitions into proper perspectives, or words that we use with the incorrect definitions, like diversification, like inclusion, like STEM, that have been far removed from their original meaning,
yes,
according to the basic laws of E equals MC squared and quantum information processing. So we have IGDG, iteration, reiteration, and enforcement to reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So they're parallels of each other. The one difference with IG and DG, instant gratification and delayed gratification, is that we're looking at a time measurement, 0.02, being able to have emotional literacy about time elements and or time constraints. So like people may feel that they're being open or brazen or vulnerable if they say, well, I dislike being patient, or I dislike waiting. And that's okay. You can dislike both of those things. But,
sure,
the fact of the matter is we live in a space, time, energy, matter. There are things you have to wait for. So you could dislike it all you want,
mm-hmm,
or you could find a way to like it. And finding a way to like it, as we once discussed, is good for your brain, because it's one of those things that you can, that will actually interfere with the process of emotional, cognitive inefficiency that creates the kind of stress that is bad for your brain, that contributes to the whole cognitive impairment process. And there are other things with our spatial reasoning skills, and also our invisible information or computational processing skills. But to go on, I have to say, you were saying, where did that come out? I have to tell you about an experience I had.
Okay.
A few days ago, and I kept meaning to tell you this, I had the oddest experience. How odd was it? Yes. So I usually go to the same gas station because I like the couple that works there.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with being inflexible or dishonoring my neuroplasticity. It's just that I go there for two reasons. One, because I like the couple that works there, and also because the Chinese food place sometimes gives me some extra food that they have, and I'm more than happy to leave it for the couple that works at the gas station, because they work until like 9-10 at night.
Okay.
So it's nice for them. It's too much food for me. And they love it. So it's like, here's your tip. But I was coming back from somewhere else the other day. I really needed to get some gas before I would get to my hometown. So I pull into a gas station, and I have to say, at a Wawa, I have to say it, because I would really like to be able to write a letter or an email to Wawa Corporate and say, I'm unsure if you know what's going on, but I think you need to know this situation. And unless I've been living under a rock for the past couple of years, and this is common practice, I think that this should be looked into. So this is what I want to say. So I'm saying it here and now, because since we deal with computational thinking and critical thinking skills, that this is going to be direct with critical thinking skills, which are directly relative to this saying that I've asked you to say already two or three times for this session, because that's where the real benefits of our both our intelligence and behavior are integrated and come together and make us better and make us be better for others as much as we are for ourselves.
Okay.
And unlock our innovation skills and our thinking outside of the box skills, all of those things.
Okay.
And also the idea of customer service. So there's so many coaches now with customer service, but 30, 40, 50 years ago, you would have never needed a coach to that, because people's customer service was brilliant. If you went to a store and you asked a question because you needed to know something, they would tell you the information that you needed to know based on your question, but they would also be able to tell from the question that you're asking if you were actually really asking the right question. So they would give you the information for your question, and then they would basically tell you the question that you really want to ask is this.
Right.
And then they would give you other information that would be relative to that question.
Sure.
Now, customer service these days, you know, coaches and leaders and managers, they have to take lessons from these types of whatever you want to say, gurus and professionals, because people are totally misunderstanding customer service, and entrepreneurship is a really big thing now.
Yes,
it's an enormous platform that everybody's jumping on.
Yes,
and a lot of the critical thinking skills that go into customer service seem to be lost. And I'm saying that at the risk of sounding like an old fogey, but we have to be honest here about this. So I pull into the gas station.
Yes.
And with the price of gas now, I give the guy a $10 bill. And when you give cash, you're supposed to be paying less, right?
Right.
So, of course, they put the pump. In New Jersey, we're the only place in the United States, and maybe even in the world, where there's still a gas station attendant. So I give him my $10. I said, like, $10 of gas. So he takes the pump out of the pump station, puts the pump in my car, and pulls the lever so it can go in. Now, of course, we know that it always stops at a certain point so that you could just pump the rest in manually. It's right. Automatic up until then. So it stops at the $9.22 mark.
Okay,
fine. I'm already only getting 2 gallons of gas for $10.
Basically.
Okay, which is, approximately 6-ish liters anywhere else in the world. And that's decent. However, but I'm paying for $10 worth of gas. So he goes around to the other customers, takes care, and then comes back to my car. And he just starts taking the pump out of the car and goes to put it back. And as I see him putting it back on the pump station, I said, excuse me, wait a minute. That says $9.22. And I paid you $10. I asked for $10 of gas.
Right.
So he looks at me like I've just asked him for a pint of blood.
Right.
For free, number one. And then he goes, looks at me with that sort of I don't know look, and I'm saying that only to quote the look that,
right,
so excuse the negation here too, but he goes, well, if you want, I can give you the 78 cents. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. He just said the change, because I doubt he could calculate that quick, the 78 cents.
Right.
If you want, I could give you the change. I mean, what is that, if I want? You either owe me the change or you owe me the gas.
Right.
This has nothing to do with, because it sounds to me like you're saying if you want means like, well, I'd rather avoid giving you the gas that you paid for or the change.
Right.
I'd rather refrain from having to work that extra effort.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first gas station I've seen this, because obviously he had to go into the little booth and put in the amount for the $10 to begin with, so that,
right,
he can actually pump that gas. And I've never been to this gas station before.
Okay. And will probably never go again.
Never, never, never. So he says, well, I have to go back in there and set the thing. I'm like, well, get going. It's late.
Yeah.
So he goes and he puts in, I said, that's 78 cents. Now, if you told me that I could go buy myself, whatever, a hot dog or a slice of pizza for 78 cents, I would have said, yeah, give me back the change. I'll just pick up a slice of pizza on the way home. But those,
right,
days are long gone,
long
too.
Gone.
And that 78 cents is part of the $10 that I paid you.
Right.
But he was neither going to offer me the 78 cents nor pump that extra 78 cents of gas in my car. Now, is this something that's going on everywhere that I'm aware of? Or is this something that is typical at Wawa? It's unlike when you go into the CVS or some of the supermarkets and they say, would you like to round off that $10.48 to $11, and that extra 52 cents is going to go to
a charity.
A charity,
sure,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you're asking me.
Right.
It's hardly as if the machine is saying, we're going to take your extra 52 cents and round it off to $11, so we're going to volunteer you to donate to this.
Right.
Like, ask me. It's my money. I earned it. So why that exists anywhere? So this is actually a good example of both of those things that we were just speaking about. Diversified mathematical processing, even beyond numbers.
Right.
Okay. Critical thinking skills that are relative to now and the here and now and the whatever, the hereafter or the thereafter this moment.
Right.
Hereafter this moment. And also, what's the other thing I'm thinking? The ability to, yes, of course, do customer service,
well,
according to real customer service. So we have these.
I'm sorry. I'm going to take that even a step further.
Okay, that's great.
I believe that was a breakdown, 100% of all communications between his brain and what was needed to complete a job.
Right. So we're talking about
we're not talking about customer service, because
his job
was to complete the task. It's not even customer service. Customer service would have been like, can I wash your windshield? Would you like me to check your oil? That's
right.
Customer service.
Right.
To complete the task of your job.
The one task.
I apologize, but that is actually not customer service.
That is non-indicative of customer service. Absolutely, 100%. And as you are also pointed out at the very beginning of the point that you were making, is a complete dissonance between a good intuitive, cognitive, critical thinking processing and the automatic transference as it should exist in the carrying out of a specific activity or skill.
Right.
So, which will, on the other side of the equation, yield customer service.
Okay.
And a sufficient amount of information that goes. But the fact that I've had to point out this, which we will define as customer service, but where
okay.
a complete lack of critical thinking skills is being rendered in the deliverance of this very simple job. Because
right.
even in the old days, if somebody said there was some dignity to working at a gas station, because a guy who worked at a gas station just pumping gas, that I remember, he would check your oil
yep.
and he would wipe your windshield.
Yeah.
He would look at the air pressure in your tires.
Yeah.
And if you had a basic question about like, okay, yesterday I was running down the highway with my car, meaning driving it, of course.
Of course.
Something happened. So I hit something in the road. I was just wondering if you could help me check it. Do you see anything? Oh, let's
right.
look at it together. We have a look. Do you see a scratch on the bottom? Or it made this funny sound for a few minutes. He would be honest and say, well, I either know very little about that, but in my experience and talking with the mechanic on site,
right.
that would sound like it's something to do with this. But, of course, when the mechanic comes in the morning, you could ask him.
Sure.
But I would bring it back first thing in the morning.
Right. And that is all what used to be constituting... customer service at a
right.
gas station.
And now we're just asking that. And we would think that, okay, so there was a little bit more reverence to that job, but we're still on the low on the rungs of the professional ladder.
Sure.
But you still respected that guy. Nobody was expected to give him a tip, but if he was a good guy, you gave him a tip, or you gave him a big tip at Christmas, or
yeah.
when it was his birthday, your wife made him a cake, or whatever the
right.
case might be, right? Or somebody, you bought him a pack of cupcakes. But... now we're talking about one task being competent. And, of course, to conclude here today, it relates back to what we were talking about in the last session, and I think the session before that, where we're talking about the STEM, meaning more than science, technology, engineering, and math, but space, time, energy, matter. And there's two other, you know, there's four main forces that have to be included in the basic knowledge processing. And when it comes to space, time, energy, and matter, that if that's all we're going to do, then we really need to master that,
right,
so that it can be attached to the other things. But so this is where we want to move real brain development forward, because all of those things have everything to do with the way our brains work, and the way our brains work have everything to do with breaking down these horrible disconnecting traits that are between cognizance and carrying out an application of a skill.
Mm, yeah.
So I think we're saying so long for the
day.
We
are. Okay. We are. This is us saying goodbye.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Thank you for your movie review.
So, if you guys want to comment on how badly I remembered that phrase, I'd be more than happy to hear from you guys. But again, we have a good half dozen to dozen people who listen to us faithfully. So, thank you so much. We appreciate
Maybe more,
you.
A couple of dozen from time to time.
That's true.
I think some people are getting used to hearing about brain development in a way that was never posed to them.
That is true. Anyway, have a great Labor Day
weekend.
And Labor Day weekend, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.